This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Been hospitalized, still no motive for that Nashville shooting that's ripped out the hearts of so many people once again. Broadcasting from beautiful Miami, although I can tell you that in Miami it seems to have been rain that's in the forecast, at least late in the day. I'm telling you, it is coming down like nobody's business. We've seen that happen now for a couple of days in a row. I'm here covering one of the greatest tennis tournaments that we have in our country. We have a couple of them. It's called the Sunshine Double, first Indian Wells in Palm Springs, and then out to Miami, which is so interesting after covering, you know, football and all the things that we talk about in the man cave. And I'm going to introduce you to someone at the tail end of this opener here named Chris Eubanks. I had a chance to talk to him. He was so emotional. He's a great American kid, and he's gone so, so far. But first, let's dive into Nashville. It was terrible what happened. The deadliest U.S. school shooting in nearly a year, believe it or not, and the 19th shooting at a school or university so far in 2023. So how many people died? Six total dead because of the shooting. You had 3 9-year-olds that died and 3 adults fatally shot. And by this attack that unfolded on Monday morning at this private Christian elementary school, a heavily armed shooter fired through glass doors, gained the access, and then the rest is history. I even saw a story today about the actress Melissa Joan Hart, whose children go to school right next to this Christian academy. And I guess a lot of the kids were escaping through the woods, the kindergarten kids and other kids, and they saw, and she happened to be there, and she helped, along with so many of the other people, help the kids get across the busy street to get away and to be reunited with people on the other side. I mean, away from what was unfolding with the shooting. Just horrific what's happened here. I have friends that are teachers that are saying, you know what, I don't know if it's worth it anymore, which is terrible because they're wonderful teachers, but they have families and they worry for their safety, which you would say before, well, it's a needle in the haystack, but is it anymore? But back to Nashville, there's no evidence that the Nashville shooter had issues with the school, according to police. Again, they're still trying to figure out what the motive is, which is always the deal. And of course, the shooter was eventually killed by police. But there doesn't seem to be a motive, or at least one has not been released. There's an investigation going on to that, but that certainly doesn't help the people, the families who are dealing with the aftermath of losing children, losing mothers, and other familiar, relationships with these people that were killed. And there just are no words. That's what the struggle is. When I come on the air and I talk about this, It's so heartbreaking to me. You know, we live in the greatest country in the face of the earth. I really believe that. I've been from end to end and feel privileged to have met so many wonderful, wonderful people. And I always believe the good in the people, that there's good. But boy, we've been through some rough sledding. When you heard me say 19 shootings in 2023, just insane. And we'll go deeper into this when I come back from Miami and in future shows. We'll be talking to a lot of people, including a lot of people on site at schools, and is there anything that can be done, etc. And also, what are some of the policies that some parents have issues with or don't have issues with? And I don't know, what are some of those solutions? By the way, if you have anything to say about that, you can always throw in your 2 cents. You know that. Go to Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. All right. We talked a lot about the grand jury in New York, the New York grand jury investigating the former president. They're going to break for most of April. So, you know, we kept hearing, oh, you know, there's this buildup, all the police are ready, and you have barricades set up. And now, when you have a grand jury, of course, they're hearing lots of different things. But it's so interesting that after what's been talked about for the last couple of weeks. Well, any second now, there could be an indictment against the president, or maybe there won't be, and the back and forth tug of war over that, and the screeching headlines and the pundits, and now the word that it's going to break for most of April. So I am famous for saying this, but stay tuned. That's all I can say about that. The Pope was hospitalized. And of course, anytime something happens with Pope Francis or whoever the Pope is, that's going to make news. But he's hospitalized, they say, for several days with a respiratory infection. So they put him in, and he's going to stay there for a couple of days. So he has been getting a lot of messages, and that's not unusual because that happens with the Pope, because he's a figurehead, right? But the 86-year-old pontiff supposedly is in pretty good health, except for now this respiratory illness, which we know respiratory illnesses, if they're not treated immediately, or go unchecked, can be really almost deadly sometimes. So after his weekly general audience in St. Peter's Square, he was taken to the hospital to undergo a number of tests. Earlier in the day, the Vatican said that the visit and the tests were planned. So this is what's going on with the Pope, and this is according to what they released from the Vatican. Again, normal procedure, what they would do. That, you know, sometimes you see him with a walking stick. Sometimes even he's been using a wheelchair because he's got this pain in his right knee. And now he's got this situation going on. So a lot of people are obviously paying attention to that and watching, because people build trips. They don't have to be Catholic. It's just something you do when you go to Rome, because it's that burned in your memory iconic thing. People go to St. Peter's. They go to hear what the Pope has to say and build trips around that. That is for sure. All right. I have to tell you a little bit about Miami. I had a chance to take a ride in downtown Miami, Biscayne Bay, and really get a chance to see what the city was like. And it is just a concrete jungle of huge, massive, towering buildings. And not that I haven't seen that and didn't know that, but it hit me again in seeing it, like, wow, Miami really is kind of this concrete fortress. It reminded me of New York, but only it's got the sunshine and it's off of the water, and it's, you know, and it's smaller, of course, but the people can be more friendly. And of course, they're always about embracing tourists in Miami, as they are in other parts of this country and other parts of Florida. And it is a place that people go. All right, coming up, and as we head into some other directions here on the show, I'm going to leave you with this conversation with Christopher Eubanks. 6'7", ooh, he's so tall, turned pro in 2017. He was so emotional, he cracked the top 100 in this tournament, and now he moves on to the quarters to take on Daniil Medvedev. That should be interesting, but congratulations to him. Let's hear from the American.
Like, growing up, like, I was never the best junior. Like, I was never, like, the best in my state, really, or, like, the best in my section. Never was best in the nation, like, a lot of that stuff. But I just, like, practice and just work. It was just like, hey, whatever happens, have everything. You know, I got a college scholarship. It's great. Didn't, like I said, I wanted to play pro. Didn't know if I really meant it. And then I had a good summer, and I was like, oh, maybe I can play pro. But I honestly don't know if I ever really. I knew I had the game to compete with top 100 guys. I didn't know if I had the consistency to, like, actually win enough matches to get there. And it's like, now it's crazy, man. Wow, this is weird.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com. Suicide is preventable, but not predictable. Stories of hope. So important right now. I am so pleased to welcome Bob Skelton to the show. He's in our virtual green room, and he has a story of his own to tell. And boy, he has really dug up some wonderful stories about people moving forward through some really difficult scenarios. Bob, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate your doing this and getting it the word out there.
So let's talk about your life. Everything's going along well. You start a business with a couple of friends, and things are looking great. You have this career where you move through the career. You're in the military, and then, like I said, you end up at the Duke Medical Center, and then... you've got this wife, and you're in Florence, South Carolina, and you start to practice your profession. And like I mentioned, you've got this business with a couple of friends. And then what happens?
Well, the business did not go quite the way that we had planned. It was supposed to make us a lot of money. It ended up my two friends said, "Oh, you don't need our help. We want to get out of this thing." So they got out of it and left me holding the bag, and economy went bad, and so everything, lost everything I owned. I had acquired a few things that I had that I could sell, and I sold those, but I still ended up owing $90,000 at 19.5% interest, which is just unbelievable within itself. And so people offered me jobs and different things, and to try to pay this back. The 19.5% interest on, you have to, I was just making money to pay the interest. It was not anything that, no progress could be made. And, so the problem I had was I just could not deal with, I couldn't walk away from it because I thought that that was, or felt like it was the same thing as stealing. I had to pay this money. So I contacted the people that I owed the money to and said, I cannot pay you. I don't know how I'm going to pay you or when, but I will pay you. But this drug on for about 4 years. I was sleeping between 2.5, 3 hours. The good night was 4 hours a night. But my body could not hold up with that. Over time, I just had a tremendous ache in my body. Every waking minute, my body ached like a toothache, and I could feel my heartbeat in my fingernails. And I said, I cannot live like this. I have got to have relief. So I made plans to go to a hotel in a nearby town, and there I was going to plan to jump, and felt like that was something I could handle. And but I went there, and I wrestled with a lot of things, and everything kind of made sense in my brain, which did not make good sense, but at the time it did. But one thing, I had two people in my life that I loved dearly, and I said, this will not work. They will. I'll transfer the hurt I'm going through to them. And now this was after hours of struggling with this thing. But I ended up, I came home, and I said, no matter what, I have got to do this for them. And when I did, I started working on a plan. And this plan was something that had never been tried. But I took my prosthetic training business that I'd been to college for, and I said, I'm going to do this different because I think it needs to be done a little differently than how I've been doing it and how it's normally done. And so I partnered myself with some people, and then I started contracting my services out. And what happened was the first year, I had no idea this was going to happen, but I made four times more money than I'd ever made since I'd been working. And, I mean, that was just kind of a business phenomenon within itself. The next year, it doubled.
Wow.
Then the next year, it doubled again.
Wow.
And the next year, it doubled again. Three times, it doubled. And then it didn't double again. It settled down about 10%, 15%, which was still amazing for a business, a new business. And we were able to, the way we were doing our business, we were doing a lot of travel and out of town and so on. And I wanted to increase that travel time. I said, and I had a passionate love. I'd gotten my private pilot's license, and so I had a passion to do that so I could incorporate work and the thing I love to do most, and that was flying. And so I bought a single engine airplane and flew it for a while. Then I started doing a lot of nighttime and instrument stuff. And so I said, well, I need twin engine airplanes. And so I ended up over the years buying three twin engine airplanes, which, airplanes are kind of like a boat. If you've got a boat, you got a lot of friends. And so I started flying governors and lieutenant governors and position friends and NASCAR race drivers, that three-time champions, those kind of things. And so it made my life just amazing with the people that I was able to meet and to get to know.
Yeah,
and
wow.
So,
wow, well, I got to stop you there because we could go on and on about your story. It's amazing that you went from that hotel room to this incredible success, and now you arrive at writing this book, Suicide is Preventable but Not Predictable, because you walked through that fire. And what do you talk about in the book? What will people expect in the book?
Well, obviously, the book is about, you know, a subject that nobody wants to talk about.
Mm.
And so what I had to do was I created in the book, the first part I talk about the problems that we have and how it is exponentially getting worse every year. And we've got to stop this. It cannot continue to grow. From 2000 to 2020, we had a 30% increase in suicides. So we have to make people aware of the problem, and we've got to do something about it. And then the next section of it, I talk about stories. I tell my story, but I also have other stories of people who have had dealt with this, were able to overcome it, and how their life was so much different afterwards as it was mine. I had no clue that things were going to change like mm-hmm. they did. And then the end of the book, people, I did my own little surveys, and I was given my hints to people that I'd given five hints, and they did not pick up on one of those hints that I was going to take my life. I said, whoa, people have got to know. And most people said, well, I had no idea. Well, they're missing the signals. So I think there's training needs to be done to help people to understand and see the signals that people are giving for suicide every day. And then what to do about it. But most of the time, the thing about it is that people, if you have to be a great listener, not what you say, it's pretty much what they say. And so the three different segments is what we're basically focusing on.
Wow, tremendous way to lay out that book. And it's what they say, not what you think. And especially so strong, those signals, and getting more training. I so agree. And you're saying it throughout this, but your book, Suicide is Preventable but Not Predictable, Stories of Hope. You can get Bob's book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away from reading the book?
Well, obviously those things. The people who read it, that I want them to take away that there's something I've got to do. There's a stigma here that, you know, we don't want to talk about this, but I've got to start being comfortable. I need to teach myself, just like preparing yourself for CPR, those things. And then the people who have a story, tell their story, and then get your training. And we're going to make all of those things available to people in live events that we're doing. And so that's wow. what we want. We want to see change. We're not just writing a book for entertainment. It's for people to make a change in the way that we address suicide.
Yeah. And you can find out more, too, right? If people want to know more about what you're talking about, like eventually all these live events and stuff, suicideispreventablenotpredictable.org, can they go there and find out more?
Well, it's bob@awareness23.org.
There you go. Perfect. Bob, what a great mission you are on. Who better to do it? And as you said, you walk through your story, you share it, and then the signals, the training, I think, is so, so key. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA News Update. Maryland Governor Wes Moore has provided an update on the investigation into the cargo ship that plowed into the Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing it to collapse.
There's not much infrastructure that can take on that brunt level of force, so we have to be able to look into it. And all indications as of right now are showing that this was not terrorism nor any form of nefarious intent.
Wednesday, the NTSB boarded the ship to gather what they call perishable evidence. A Texas law granting police the authority to detain individuals suspected of unlawfully crossing the border remains suspended. The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans has affirmed a prior ruling deeming SB 4 unconstitutional. Donald Trump has extended a warm reception to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s entrance into the presidential race. In a post on Truth Social, Trump expressed his hope that Kennedy's candidacy will draw votes away from President Biden. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Excited to take you to Australia for a conversation with Heather Coombs. Her book, Marathon Wheeler, Living with Physical Disability. This woman is a dynamo. I don't think anything is stopping her, and I don't think it ever has stopped her. This is a must read, I think, for anyone. So, Heather, thanks for joining us. You and I had a great off-air conversation, and your road has been so fascinating. But let's start from the beginning. What is it that put you in a wheelchair? Tell us about your so-called disability.
Okay. I live in a motorized wheelchair, mostly, and I have cerebral palsy, which is a neurological condition that I've had since birth. The medical profession don't know exactly what causes it. But I was 2 months premature when I was born very ill when I was a baby. But my parents say that even when I was small, there was evidence of my sheer determination to live.
And you definitely show the evidence of that without question. And in your book, you take us on all kinds of interesting journeys, things that are challenges, things that happen. One of your chapters is security and strangeness. Tell us about strangeness and some of the things that you've had to deal with.
Whenever I go on holidays, for example, this is just one example, many people kind of think, oh, isn't it great that we're going on holidays? But going to a different environment that's outside my home and my routine requires a lot of a lot of pre-planning. It just doesn't happen. I've got to make sure that I've got the right equipment there. I've got the right support people. The surroundings are accessible, and that sort of thing. So whenever I cope with a strange situation, I need to go into planning mode to try and, get over that sense of strangeness and to exercise some control over the unknown.
And I love this chapter because don't we all need to do that? How often, in a different way, you teach us, yes, you have control to plan certain things, to know certain things, so you're not stuck in a situation, and you do that so well. In fact, you do it so well that it's interesting what you have done with your life. Tell the people that are listening, and this is wonderful, about your love for books and where that led you, and you talk about this throughout the book.
Okay. When I was a teenager, I went through a lot of emotional turmoil, and my father, who was a scholar, he loved reading as well, and so he, with his own pastoral sensitivity, he fed me with a lot of books to read of Christian psychiatrists who helped me understand, you know, the alienation and loneliness that I was feeling. My father also gave me books on biographies of inspiring people who worked in adversarial situations. And I think even when I was doing librarianship later on, one of the theses I did was the value of bibliotherapy, which is the art of prescribing books for particular challenges. And I know for me, books have been very therapeutic, and they've given me tools to navigate whatever life has thrown at me.
And what's interesting, too, you mentioned it, the path besides going down the path of being able to do what you did so well with the library slant, also you talk about the fact that, of course, God has given you strength. And your very last chapter is God Gives Breath for the Marathon. Tell us about that.
Well, having a physical disability is not something that automatically gets better tomorrow. So you need strength for the long haul, and I mean lots of strength. And there are times in my disability which takes a lot of energy from me. I think to myself, God, I can't cope with this by myself. I need you with your extra plus power to get me through not 4 years to come, but for today and the next day. I think my faith has taught me to take things a day at a time, and it allows me to think that I'm only a small cog in a big universe, But that power, that universal power, is available to me to strengthen my spirit, to help my body to work. But also, faith tells me that I'm not here just to receive help, which I do a lot of and I'm appreciative of. But my faith also tells me that I need to serve others and to love others where they are. And so it gives me an opportunity that I'm not the center of the universe. My purpose and my goal is to help as many people as I can.
Oh, that's beautiful. Love others where they are. That's another hashtag from that. And, of course, the word marathon is in it. We're speaking with Heather Coombs, her book, Marathon Wheeler, Living with Physical Disability. You can easily get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. What made you decide you were going to tell your story and write this book?
Well, I'd retired from many years in aged care chaplaincy. Eventually, and I wanted something to do that was productive in my retirement years. So I started to write my memoir to try and make sense of the kaleidoscope of experiences that I'd had. But beyond that initial goal, I wanted also to give people practical understanding of what it was like to experience disability in the everyday, but also to help people relate with more sensitivity to how they can best relate to people with disability, and not to lose your sense of humour in doing so. I think some people think that because we're in wheelchairs, we're broken, fragile people. But underneath the fragility, there is often a lot more to get to know in that person.
I love that. And I want to make sure that we know, that people know, you also have another book. So with the minute or so that we have left, tell us about your next book that's already out there, that's already done.
Yes, it's called The Many Faces of Grief, Finding Pathways to Healing. And it's about the various kinds of grief that people experience, not just bereavement of losing someone special, although that's very important, but the grief that we've experienced through COVID, through maybe pregnancy loss, through maybe people who are incarcerated for a crime they've committed. There's a lot of grief in that process. There's grief that health professionals feel when they lose a patient or a client. There's a number of different griefs of experiencing disability and aging. So I wanted to outline some of those, but also to outline some points of where we can go to find the pathways to healing.
Wow, that's wonderful. And of course, you have that roadmap there. And the same with this book. It's so empowering, I think, without a doubt. You can get, of course, these books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Heather Coombs, what a delight to spend some time with you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much, Kate.
I
this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Dennis. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This time around, Author's Corner, V.F. Squadair joins us. The name of his book, Before, Into, Beyond Cancer. And his story is one that is just unbelievable. Where he is now and where he started on that cancer journey. So, V.F., thanks for coming on.
Yes, thank you for having me on. So, my story starts back in 1980 when I was 17. I was diagnosed with a bone cancer called Ewing sarcoma, which had a very low success rate in 1980. And the doctors set me up on a regimen to treat the cancer. And they started me on the radiation treatment, which is pretty aggressive. It was 5 days in a week, and then you take a week off, and another 5 days. We found out after the fact that the hospital gave me like 4 to 5 times the level they were supposed to. My sister, Michelle, said, maybe that was my saving grace. But for the next 7 or 8 months, I was really radioactive. I couldn't really touch much. The next treatment was chemotherapy, and the chemotherapy back in 1980 made you terribly sick. I probably got down to like 90 pounds. I could never eat. And after like 6 or 7 months of that, they weren't getting very good results. So they wanted me to try this experimental chemo that wasn't even FDA approved yet. I had to sign all these legal forms because unfortunately nothing was killing the cancer. And a few months after that, the doctors told my parents there was nothing else they could do, and maybe I had another 6 months to live. And my mother erupted at the doctor and said, you're not going to tell my son he's going to die. He thinks he's going to live. And the next mom said it was time for us to find a new doctor. And, you know, he did all this research to find volunteers who had experience with Ewing sarcoma. you know, and that was long before the internet. So it's amazing she found, you know, what she did. So we found this doctor down in New York City in Sloan Kettering, Dr. Joe Lane. He looked at my x-rays and he said to us, we really need to carve out this piece of cancerous bone. He said, it might work and maybe we can save you. He sounded kind of skeptical to us, unfortunately. So my mom looked at me and said, well, Brian, what do you want to do? And I said, well, Mom, I think we're running out of options. I said, if I'm broke and he can fix it, let's give it a try. Since then, I've had so many surgeries in the past, and that's always been my motto. If it's broke, fix it. If something's broken, we just fix it, you know. You know, when you're 17 or 18 years old, you know, you're kind of naive. You don't really foresee that at that age. You know, they don't. So then surgery came Thanksgiving 1981. It was like a 12 or 14-hour surgery. I don't know. I woke up from that, and my whole left leg and my left side were numb. There was no feeling. Dr. Lane came in and said, they had to cut my femoral artery because it was so deteriorated from the radiation. They had to cut the femoral nerve, and forever I'd have no more feeling in that part of my body. So that's the, I guess that's the first segment and my whole ordeal with this. You know, my family, they certainly understood it better than I did. And quite frankly, you know, everybody thought I was going to die. The whole neighborhood thought I was going to die. They threw a big party for me and all this stuff. So it was really kind of strange to be put in that situation. You know, I mean, you don't really believe it, but, you know, that's kind of what all rolled out from that. So,
and in your book, you know, you really lay out some interesting things that I think would be incredibly helpful to anybody who's got cancer of any kind and is going through this, because your mom really saved you because she refused to give up and just listen to one diagnosis, right?
My mom is the only reason I'm alive. I mean, there was times I was down, I was sad. You know, I wrote in the book. I mean, there was a time I was really distraught, and the doctors had me on piles and piles of pills. And you know, one segment of my life, I said, this is it, I'm all done. And I remember I took a whole lot of pills one night, and I said, that's it, I'm giving up, you know. And I woke up the next day, and I said, boy, thank God, stupid me. I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't kill myself, and, you know. And after that, I said, okay, well, you know, I got to tackle this in a better way. And see what's going on, you know. But after, you know, after experiencing the whole thing like that and going through it all, I thought it'd be awful to not somehow reflect on it and maybe give some people some hope that, you know, maybe you don't have to die from this. You know, I have so many people die from cancer, and when I hear this, the papers and people die young, it, you know, breaks my heart. It's just, I just thought it's terrible. And I thought writing a book, you know, would be a really good vehicle. You know, I didn't ever see anybody making that big fuss about me in my life. You know, they shouldn't. I'm a nobody. It's not like I'm going to be on the Tonight Show or anything spectacular. I'm just a regular guy, and this is the cards I was dealt, and this is what I had to go through. And, you know, what they say, you know, life goes on, and boy, that life went on. You know, it's been a very hard, like I said, very hard, difficult life. I had a lot of just crazy, crazy surgeries. Shortly after I got home, I was hanging out with my friends in my room. We were playing Atari, and I got up to go to the bathroom on my crutches, and blood started squirting out of my wound because it was an open wound. They had it healed from the inside out. The blood was squirting out all over, and I was worried my parents would be upset that it bled all over them. So I told my parents about it, stupid me, the next day, and then we're off to the ER again. We met with a great doctor, Dr. Carmody, and he showed us the x-rays, and then he said to us, I don't think anybody in the world has ever tried this surgery, he said, but, you know, I think I can do it. So after surgery, I went. I was wheeled down. I was sitting outside of the operating room, waiting for my turn to go in, and all these nurses that didn't speak English were running around crazy, pushing stuff. Something was wrong. Then the anesthesiologist came over and said, hey, we're going to put you under. And I said to him, hey, you're not supposed to put me under until I'm in the ER. What are you doing? Turns out my aneurysm busted open again right there while I was waiting to go into surgery. Well, I'm going to say, if you're going to have an aneurysm suddenly burst open and start bleeding, it's good to be hanging out, you know, outside of an operating room, I guess, you know. So.
Wow. Wow. And despite all these things that happened, here you are thriving. And how many decades later has this been?
Yeah, it's been 42 years now, and you know, the running joke in my family is, you know, you just can't seem to kill me. I mean, that everyone jokes about that. And I say to people, I say, yeah, you can just drop me in a volcano. I said, I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. I'll make it. You know, don't worry about it. You know, it's just it's the funniest thing. So I don't know. It's just it's been a very strange life. It's been very tasking. You know, my health isn't great now, but you know, I mean, how could it be? You know, we just you know, I still get through my things. I survive. You know, I try to play my golf. That's my body allows me to. And you know, all I can say is, you know, you don't want to give up if you have something bad like this. And you know, you don't ever believe everything the doctors tell you. There was a lot of things I did on my own where people would say afterwards, you know, that's not what the doctor told you to do, but hey, it worked out. I'm like, yeah, okay. So it was like when I did physical rehabilitation, I did it all on my own. I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't do anything. And like 7 or 8 months after I started it, I was walking on my own again. And everyone was like, my doctor was like, how the hell did you do that? That's unbelievable. I mean, they were just, you know, they're really amazed that I was able to conquer what I did, I suppose.
Yeah. And so you said it throughout this, but what do you hope people take away from reading Before Into Beyond Cancer?
Well, you know, I guess when you read it, you know, there's some things in there that showed where, you know, I made my own call and I did some things to save myself. So all I can say is, you know, if you're sick, you know, you still got to listen to your gut instinct on things, on yourself, on taking care of yourself. And, you know, I hope that, you know, if some people go through and they read it and they get a little hope, then, you know, maybe they'll, it'll be the inspiration to help them get through it. It's funny, we had a member of a friend of our family, got diagnosed with cancer, and I went down and I talked to him and I'm like, hey, Gus, geez, I'm sorry to hear that you had cancer. And he looked at me and he said, Brian, I'm going to be okay. He said, you got cancer. You made it through. I'm going to make it through too. Don't you worry. And so it was like, wow, you know, I didn't know I had any effect like that on anybody. You know, that's crazy. So.
Yeah. So and this is what your book's about. I think that what you say in the book, you talk really vividly, as you did here, about your experiences. And then in retrospect, looking back, what it was like in the middle of it, what was going on with other people as you went into detail about Plan B and that whole idea of, as what you just said there, of trusting your gut, because it's a difficult time. People are panicked around you. You're just trying to figure out, how do I live? And what an amazing story. And here you are all these decades later. So, BF, thanks so much for coming on. You can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Like I said, this is an honor. And, you know, if it helps anyone out there, then I guess I've done my job. You know? So.
Yeah. Excellent. Interesting story. We're glad you're alive. We're glad you told the story. And so thanks for doing that. And thanks to everybody for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality powder Yarko that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure powder Yarko Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure powder Yarko Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.